the village. And over the years, of course, so we gathered experience, and I would say a few of the Swiss experience, definitely at the latest. So that experience has shown that the time is not yet ripe for full monetary reform, and certainly not for monetary reform overnight, as we have envisaged originally. Certainly we have started to think about, monetary reform, thinking about steps. A gradual approach to monetary reform, taking single steps, step by step. And already also 5, 6, 7 years ago, and one example is, for example, during a certain time, there was talk about helicopter money and quantitative easing for the people, or quantitative easing for the real economy, rather than just quantitative easing for finance. And of course, this would have been from the point of view of central banking, that would really have been, so to say, a radical step to them. But we have the feeling, so basically that would have been very welcome, but it would not have been a contribution to changing how money is created and how money is allocated. So a little bit, yes, but one problem was that quantitative easing for the people without changing the rest of the monetary system, that would have meant that the banking sector is a free rider of that scheme, for example. And so a number of people among us, we had the idea, why not combining the call for helicopter money with introducing sovereign money accounts, or safe accounts, as it was already called. And but at the time, 5 years ago or so, that was not taken up. Again, the time was not yet right for it, and I'm very happy personally to have learned these days that now our Dutch members come up with such a proposal again, apparently much better worked out this time, and legally tailor-made to the legal conditions within the euro area and the EU. But I think basically readaptable and applicable elsewhere. And how you call it, safe haven depository? Yes.
Yeah. Well, the scientific council is talking about safe haven.
Yeah.
And we came up with a proposal to implement that as a public depository.
Yes, but depository means not only depositing central bank money, but also using it as a transaction account, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I think it's an excellent approach, because one of the problems we had also in communicating and in getting support for monetary reform was that, oh, that's a centralist approach, it's top-down and so on. And this is an approach that can be, or by its nature, is more bottom-up. And so that promises to be more connected within a wider range of civil service, civil society, NGOs, and so on. So personally, I'm strongly in favor of making this approach one of our top priorities, and I think so. We should do that, and hopefully this time it will be received much better than previous attempts to do something similar. Well, at the same time, we now have among central banks we have seen an increasing discussion on the idea of central bank issued digital currency for public use. And you know that. I mean, the various models coming from the Bank of England, the A-Krona approach, also the Uruguayan E-Peso approach, and there are certainly some more in the Marshall Islands. I heard about that sovereign, introducing sovereign currency as a crypto coin. And it might be interesting, I don't know yet, it's too fresh for me, I can't say, but it sounds interesting, so it might be an additional approach. And this is a development too, from my point of view, I think it's really welcome, because it promises to be one step that would introduce sovereign money, a substitute for traditional solid cash. And that could spread, that could be disseminated, and that certainly would be a step towards more sovereign money in the perspective of sovereign monetary reform. That approach, of course, has also been criticized, but I think we should try to be part of it, we should try to participate in it and try to contribute to it, especially by putting forth design principles, how it should be done, because the thing with these central bank approaches to digital currency, so the important thing is in the details. So accessibility, for example, and whether there are, what kind of limits, and questions of parity, and question of whether they should be interest-bearing or not, and so on and so forth. About a dozen or so different aspects, deciding on whether this really it would be a step towards a sovereign money system, or whether it would just a substitute for solid cash and nothing more. And so I think our task would be to try to bring in the design principles that decide on whether or not, so you understand what I want to say. And I think I would say the bottom-up approach of safe depositories and the little bit more, say, a bit more top-down approach of central bank issued digital currencies, we should not see these as excluding each other, but I think we should try to pass with some sort of, how you say, double track, two track approach. We can't do both. Well, then, there is now, wait a moment, I have taken a note here. Yeah, there is now that thing with the new Green New Deal. A present day form of New Deal, Green New Deal. So I think that comes more from the United States, from new candidates of the Democratic Party. But also in Europe, again an initiative by Positive Money. They have done an excellent report on dealing with the growth constraint, which is environmentally, of course, highly relevant. And the greening of the Green Bank of England, or the greening of central bank policy. Well, I can't say too much on this right now. It would take too much time. But simply let me say I'm a bit skeptical about that, having spent 30 to 40 years of my professional career with the questions of the greening of industrial society, the greening of the industrial metabolism, and we have never talked about monetary reform in connection to that. And I could easily give you a program what to do in order to greening the planet and so on. And money, of course, has an important role in this. But whether central bank monetary policy has to play a big role in this, I am very skeptical about that. And of course, I understand. So if you are a campaign a campaigning organization. Of course, you want to reach a wide public. And as you said, I understand that you want to, how did you say, you want to profit on that presently very strong movement. But basically, I don't know. I would say if national member organizations of the IMMR think it's useful, why not? So go on with it. But I'm skeptical about this making a, so to say, a priority for the entire international monetary reform movement. I don't know. And also one more word on the Green New Deal. It seems to me that in a way this is also inspired by modern money theory, and it's a channel. So yeah, we need more money again. Stop austerity and so on. We have to spend more money on I don't know what. And there is an inbuilt contradiction between getting the economy up and running again on the basis of not yet very well adapted, ecologically not well adapted technologies and practices, and the desire for greening, well, the industrial metabolism, there's a contradiction. And I think it's a way of, well, MMT promises, the modern money theory promises, stop austerity, but carry on with what you have been used to. So don't worry about public-private foreign sector imbalances, don't worry about deficits and debt. Just let the government and the central bank in tandem create as much money as we deem decent, and everybody will be happy. No, left-leaning Keynesians will be happy. They can carry on with deficit spending, and every sort of clientelistic politicians who want to do clientelistic policies are happy. They will have money, and the military-industrial complex will be happy, they will get money, and everybody will be happy, and we just carry on with what we have been used to for decades now. I'm a bit afraid, particularly with regard to America, that modern money theory, with that siren song, so to say, is also rising in Europe too. And that's one of the problems related to the greening of monetary policy, besides totally confusing fiscal and monetary policy and so on. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to say. So summarizing, I want to stress the need, but one thing we learned from the Swiss experience was that one reason for the vote, for the no vote, was that despite much publicity and public debate, most of the people had no adequate understanding what was at issue. Mm-hmm. And so our basic task still is and has to continue to be doing good research, doing up-to-date monetary system analysis, and particularly educating and informing the public. Going into secondary and tertiary schooling and universities, the media. Several of you have pointed out that, and that's exactly right. Some of us are now, after several years, becoming tired of it. Okay, then try to find new people. Try to motivate new incoming people, but that's a basic task we have to continue with. And then, yes, I would say let's focus on these steps of bottom-up step of safe depositories, and also let's accompany the process of central bank digital currency by focusing on the design principles of such schemes. Thanks for listening.
I was going to say that if we do 5 minutes for like burning questions, but I'm also aware that Joseph's going to host a session tomorrow specifically on the MMT, which lots of people want to attend. So if it's on that,
no, it's not.
It's
on
not
MMT.
Okay. So quick, quick questions, sure. And then we're going to break out so that lots of people can be talking. About.
Okay, Joseph. For a number of years now, politicians and central bankers have pushed for a cashless society. Cashless society.
Oh, yes.
By eliminating certain banknotes, Larry Summers, ECB, etc. Don't you think that digital money and opening accounts with the central banks is a way to say, well, now money is safe. If you open an account with us, the money is safe, totally safe. There is no bank run anymore, and we can start the process of eliminating cash, and which is basically has three objectives. One is to control every single transaction. Second, to impose negative interest rates on everybody. And thirdly, is if someone is, you know, is not accepted, you know, is a problem, just cut him off from the system.
Yeah.
So this is don't you think this is a potential risk by talking about digital money?
Yes, totally yes. I clearly see what you say. Me too, I see that. But as a matter of fact, I think cash is bound to
disappear.
To disappear, yeah. It will be fading away sooner or later. And when we have reached a certain very low percentage of cash use, then there will be a political decision to stop it because it's for various reasons. And of course, one motivation behind really is, well, I see the control problem, but this is not just with regard to money, it's a general problem in modern society, so surveillance and so on, the Big Brother story and et cetera, et cetera. But I really see that's why I see a necessity that to replace traditional solid cash with sovereign or central bank digital currency, and the important thing is really how the digital currency is or would be implemented and the rules in detail. I think it does not make much sense in the longer term to resist the disappearance of cash. In several countries, it's a matter of fact in Sweden and Canada and in Denmark elsewhere, I don't know.
Yeah, I might add to that, as you say, the saying to Joseph, the cash will eventually disappear. And that is happening now in Sweden. Only you have to know that, and we have much less cash usage. So, and this is not driven by the central banks, as you insinuated.
This is not
driven by the central bank or the banks. It's driven by the people. We are used to using electronics. It's much easier to pay with this one.
Or with the chip in your...
Sergio, if you turn into this conspiracy, it's a
self-made strike of fears.
But it's just a fact. It's a fact that people are, in Sweden at least, are stopping.
Can I just make a brief comment?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's important. There is this fear out there, and you know it's out of our control. I think it's important that when we're talking about these evolutions of digital money, that we, as far as I'm aware, none of us monetary reform groups are advocating eliminating physical cash. And I think it's important to make that clear to people so that they're not suspicious of us as being part of this fear that's out there. And in the US anyway, there's still a lot of cash transactions. And so, you know, countries vary, the different cultures, but a lot of people are very fearful of getting rid of cash, you know, in case there's like a big power cut or whatever. They want to keep, yeah. So I think it's important that we stress that we're not advocating eliminating fiscal cash. We want to retain all forms of money. We just want to make them fair and sovereign and all that sort of thing.
We want cash only from that day.
Yeah.
When the lights go out, we still have a physical one.
Maybe
just real quick, I strongly agree with Joseph that I think it's going to be this way, either way, if it's driven by institutions or players that want to abolish cash or just by the people that like to use digital money. I think it's quite convenient. But going back to the e-krona in Sweden, I think they are working on a plan where they want to implement a solution that you can actually pay a certain amount of money anonymously. And I think this is something we should also try to focus at. So finding solutions for still having a digital solution to pay anonymously, even though it's only a certain amount of money. I think the e-krona is looking for 50 euros or something like this. I'm not too sure. So that's yeah, it's not a lot, but...
These are anonymous cash cards that are, Revolut.
The e-krona will be the e-krona in both ways. It will be anonymous in the same way as money is today. You can't be anonymous to your own private bank. And you can't be anonymous. When you use the e-krona, the accounts will still be managed by a bank. The only difference is that the money will be located on the central bank balance sheet, not on the banks. So there is no difference between anonymity of today. What about on that?
We're having a one-on-one now about cash. So, final point from class before we wrap this session up.
Well, I disagree, Joseph and Manuel. I don't think physical cash is dedicated to be phased out. A lot of technologies, like we are reading still newspapers and books, and even there's much easier facility electronically, or we're still heating with wood ovens, and there's technically much better possibilities. So there's still old technologies because people like to use it. The same with cash, in my opinion.
Final
point for the women. Even if it is driven by people who have no arguments because of surveillance and so on, there's a simple technique.